Hi, AfterBuzzers. Welcome to Spotlight On. Today, I'm in studio with Neely Fisher. She is the flexible chef. She is going into production on the second season of her YouTube series, so popular. She's going to give us tips and tricks for cooking, hosting parties, and more. Don't go away.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I love the audience clapping. It is my favorite way to start any interview. It just feels good.
Yay.
Thanks so much for joining us, After Buzzers. I am Zoe Hewitt, and I am in studio today with Neely Fisher. Neely, starting off, where can everyone find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at byneely, B-Y-N-E-A-L-Y, or on my website, theflexiblechef.com.
And I am Zoe Hewitt. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RealZoeHewitt. Now, we've got to start off with the show, of course. How did you get started with The Flexible Chef?
Okay, so I've been a teacher my whole life in various different disciplines. I was a yoga teacher and a fitness instructor and then a cooking instructor, and I was working in all these separate disciplines, and one day I realized that there was this secret ingredient missing from each of them, and that was flexibility, and this ability to really understand the multidisciplinary lifestyle element that can cover all of those things at once. And so I started a blog, and Flexible Chef was born.
And that's so true, because everyone feels like when they're doing something, they have to do it by the book and perfectly. Or sometimes I think it's easy to just throw it away and think, I can't do this, so I'm not even trying.
Absolutely.
So it's really a good way to inspire people, too, to give it a shot.
Absolutely.
And yeah. So what have you found as you've started the show and have continued now into the second season that are some of the tips and tricks that you realize are so useful to people? Mm-hmm.
So I always say that the key to flexibility, as in being able to wing it, basically, mm-hmm. is to be organized and to have a set of rules that you probably break at some point or another, but to get really organized from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So whether it's in the kitchen, prepping your food in advance, being really organized about your shopping list, planning your workouts in, getting all of your scheduled stuff in place so that you can modify and experiment as you go along.
And I love that, like, experimenting angle of it, too. And you've been able to come up with some really amazing tips as well. My favorite is doing ice cream sandwiches by slicing off the bottom of the pint. Do you want to describe mm-hmm. that? You describe it better than I do.
Yeah. So I was at the farmer's market. We were chatting about this earlier. And I watched this kid take a cookie and a spoon and kind of try to make the ice cream fit all perfectly. And it was oozing down. It was a mess. And the thing came up. And it was a... So what I do is I take the frozen ice cream intact, and then I take a big chef knife and slice rounds of the ice cream, and then you pull it off. You could actually pull it off for, it doesn't matter which way you do it, but you basically get round discs of ice cream, and then I take a cookie cutter and I slice them. So they're perfect rounds, and the same cookie cutter, you slice the cookie in, so then they fit perfectly. It looks like this beautiful production, and it took me 5 minutes.
Right, like a professional ice cream sandwich. And I feel like when I saw that, it was like, why have I never thought of this before?
Yeah.
Because mine are always like that kids at the farmer's market, sort of lumpy with ice cream everywhere dripping down.
Exactly. And the key is, like, nobody has time anymore. I mean, mm-hmm. my videos are maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes at most. Mm-hmm. And so you get to learn basically how to make an ice cream sandwich mm-hmm. in 2 minutes.
Right.
So,
like, all the salient points that you need for
exactly.
anything.
Exactly.
So do you have a favorite recipe? Because you make up a lot of great recipes. Do you have a favorite?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I've been eating salmon a lot this summer, and I love to make different things with the salmon. So I'll make a seared salmon the night before, just marinate it in a little bit of lemon and salt, wipe it down first. I seared the salmon one night, and I hadn't wiped the lemon off yet, and I got little burns all over my... Actually, I don't know if you guys can see.
You still have burn marks.
I had little burn marks all around my hand. And it was because I hadn't wiped the lemon off of the salmon first. So make sure your salmon is dry before you fry. Dry before you fry. We can coin that term.
Yes.
But then sear salmon, amazing. Okay. And then I do everything with it. I put it on salads. Mm-hmm. I sprinkle it up and refry it the next day with some mm-hmm. Cajun spice and onion. And I have kind of like a salmon taco thing. Then I crumble it and make spinach and salmon burgers the next day. Very useful ingredient.
And I like that, too, because salmon, fish in general, to me, is one of those foods that doesn't keep well otherwise. Mm. So it's like, what do you do with it? Like, when I have leftover salmon, it's sort of like, in the trash mm-hmm. because the next day.
True.
So I like that idea of then taking it and making the burgers and doing other things that, I guess, disguise that it's second-day salmon.
Exactly. Especially if you have kids and they don't like to mm-hmm. eat salmon, you can, like, mask them sort of into a burger.
And you've got three kids, so are they picky?
I have four.
Four? Oh, there is an extra one.
Although my oldest has been in camp, so, like, I have sort of had three for the last month, but now he's back.
Yeah. Like a bonus kid who just showed up.
We love him. It's great to have him back. It was very lonely without the fourth. The three kids sound like nothing.
Three kids to you sounds like easy street, right? Yeah, when you've got four at home normally. Exactly. So four kids, are they picky eaters, or do they go along with what you make?
I think at various stages of their life, they've been more particular, but, like, fair enough. We all have our preferences. I'm particular, as I am sure you are. But I think they're open-minded, and if anything, I make them really hungry before dinner, so, like, they're eating what's available. But, I mean, they're generally open-minded, but they have their preferences.
Yeah. And so, like, I know you did one with Brussels sprouts. So the big test was, like, will the kids eat the Brussels sprouts? Mm-hmm. So are there lots of experiments in the kitchen before recipes make it onto the show where you've checked to see, like, will my kids actually eat this?
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, there are also new things that come up on air or, you know, behind the scenes where as we're cooking, we find something else to do with it, right? Brussels sprouts, though, speaking of them, are really, kids actually love them if you cook them right. If you get them real crispy in the oven with a little bit of olive oil and salt and,
So do you think most people just cook them wrong? I feel like I don't have no idea what to do with Brussels sprouts.
Do you like them?
I don't mind them. They wouldn't be, like, my favorite vegetable that I'd go out and eat, but I don't mind them.
I wish you would have told me. I could have brought you some crispy Brussels sprouts.
I know.
To try next time.
Best thing on a hot day, right?
But, like, you don't have to like them, right? Like, I think the misconception is that, like, this is good for you. I must eat it. Or this is good for my kids. I must eat it to them. It's like, we all have our preferences, and everyone needs to eat what they like. So, yes, there are ways to make certain vegetables taste more delicious, but you don't have to like them. But they're really great roasted.
Yeah, that does. I like roasted. Most vegetables roasted, though, are delicious.
Yeah.
And so you've got this gorgeous kitchen in Montana, just beautiful. I mean, you get, like, the beautiful scenery. But you split your time in a lot of different places as well. So how do you handle the kitchen aspect?
I think most of my pantries are stocked separately. So we spend most of our time in Hong Kong. We just spent a chunk of time in Israel. So I have my pantry staples that I always have, whether it's the list of fresh things that I stock my fridge with or the basic pantry essentials that, you know, in a couple minutes I can whip up a quick dressing for a salad, and that's a meal with the protein or something like that. So I think it's just about being organized and getting your pantry set. Another interesting thing, too, is, like, a lot of us have these stocked kitchens with all of our food processors and blenders and all of the tools that we use that help cooking become kind of more manageable and efficient. But I really like to teach people and also know how to do everything by hand and be flexible about, well, what if I don't have that ingredient, or what if I don't have that technique? I'll either make something else or I'll learn how to, you know, I know how to chop garlic in 2 minutes by hand. I have a good tip on the website for how to quickly mince ginger by hand without having to have the microplane. You know, like, just being able to modify.
And so do you find that by splitting your time and spending so much time in Hong Kong, for instance, that it's harder to find certain foods, or can you pretty much keep up with the same foods that your family would be eating here?
So Global Marketplace is pretty ridiculously amazing, and there are, I'm going to put up a couple resources on my website, actually, for where to shop for what globally, like places that deliver worldwide. So I do a lot of online shopping wherever I am in the world, even from Israel. You could order stuff and have it delivered to your doorstep. So I'm a huge fan of that. I can also shop online when everything else is shut, basically, so I don't have to time my grocery shops right over. But, yeah, I think you learn how to make do with what's available. I love walking the markets and being like, ooh, interesting, I could totally substitute. Like, I couldn't find jicama the other month, and it's like, I could totally substitute a turnip for that purpose, or kohlrabi or something like that. So you kind of learn what you can substitute and how to work with local.
And that's part of being so flexible, too, right? Being able to be in different places and still make your meal, but just tweak it a little for the local flavors. So I find sometimes that even after a big shopping trip, I will look in the pantry and in the fridge and have, like, nothing to eat. I don't know what happened $100 later, but there's a lot of food, but, like, nothing to eat.
Right.
So what do you think when people go shopping, what are some of the basics they should always have at home?
Yeah, good question. So from a snack standpoint, like, I'm lately a big fan of nuts and seeds and even bars and stuff. Certain bars, you have to read the ingredients. But especially in the summer, like, I really don't have a lot of, forget about time, I don't have a lot of interest to be in the kitchen mm-hmm. and prepare things. So I buy a lot of ready-made snacks. So read the labels, check that they have less than a couple grams of sugar if you care about that, which I recommend that you do. But, you know, get some ready-made snacks, number mm-hmm. one. Big fan of ready-made things. And these days you can buy so many things ready-made. And the other thing is just thinking about your shopping ahead of time and knowing and allocating some time when you get home to preparing it. So, like, for example, I always have a dressing on hand for a salad. Because what's a salad without a dressing? It's just lettuce. It's not actually a salad, right? And so a great dressing can totally give you, you know, many meals. Mm-hmm. I buy prepared olives. Olives are a great snack mm-hmm. if you like that. Cut up veggies, pre-cut up veggies, and just get yourself a jar of almond butter or peanut butter or whatever, and that's a quick and easy snack. Yeah. Gosh, we've been buying a lot of pickles. That's not really, that doesn't count as a snack. But, like, things like that that are...
Pickles don't count as a snack? Why?
There's zero calories.
Isn't that a good snack, then?
I guess.
I feel like that's the best snack
there. Okay, fine, people. Pickles are a snack.
Put pickles back. Give me those pickles. I love those kosher dill pickles.
Yum.
Oh, those are the best. I hate the neon green pickles.
Yeah.
I don't understand pickles that are neon green. So I feel like there's also a lot of varieties of pickles. Yes. They are not all the same.
Right.
So pickles.
I'm not
good.
A pickle expert, but I do buy them and snack on them.
Now that they're back in the snack category.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what about freezing things? Because mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's easy to forget that we can put pretty much anything in the freezer mm-hmm. to pull it out later.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's anything that's particularly difficult to freeze?
Salmon would not be great. Mm-hmm. Cooked salmon. So you could buy it fresh, cook what you want, and then freeze the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Things like potatoes or things that will get mushy afterwards mm-hmm. are not great. Certainly not, you can't freeze salads or anything like fresh, raw stuff is not freezable. But I freeze almost everything. Uh-huh. Cookies and cakes and brownies, I'm gluten-free, so I make a lot of it in advance. I use boxed mixes. Mm-hmm. I make two batches. I cut them up, wrap them. Mm-hmm. You want to hear a cool tip for freezing cookies and stuff?
Well, mine don't make it to the freezer, but okay.
This is a good point. But make a double batch, and then you won't have to cook twice, right?
So you think. Yes, I do want to know, because I know there are definitely people who put their cookies in the freezer.
Okay, so... Often people use a Ziploc bag and then just kind of line the cookies up in the Ziploc bag and zip them up. But what happens is when you put them in the freezer, they move around and they can crush. Mm-hmm. So get a old cardboard box, cut it into the size that you want. Wrap the box in aluminum foil, or lately I've been avoiding aluminum foil, so you can use parchment paper. Uh-huh. Aluminum's easier because it tucks in nicer, but parchment paper, you can just wrap it and put a little piece of tape at the bottom. And then line your cookies up on the parchment. Mm-hmm. Take a separate piece of parchment if you want to do a double or a triple layer, depending on how many cookies are not left over. and then wrap all that in parchment, and then place that little thing in a Ziploc bag and seal it. If you're crazy, you could actually know the size of your Ziploc bags and just cut up pieces of carton and have them ready. Mm-hmm. And you stack your freezer. I mean, it's really a lifesaver. And they, a couple months at least, you can keep them.
And so then when you have company over, is it... And if someone shows up, you can just pull that out.
Right? I almost never make a dessert fresh. I mean, not almost never. Certainly not in the summertime when I'm, not interested in being in the kitchen all day. Yeah, it's great. Pies, cakes, everything.
And do you think there are certain foods that taste better after they've been frozen? Like, I feel like my grandmother's spaghetti is better after freezing. I feel like the flavors sort of sink into the pasta better. Huh. I don't know.
So I have this new idea that we're going to film this summer. This is a little preview.
Oh, good.
And I actually got this idea because I saw it in the supermarket. Some smart person branded and made this. I don't know what it was, and I can never find it again, so I'm going to make it.
Good.
It was a marinated piece of... What's it... I do like other food. It just happens to be salmon, but I... Okay. But anyway, you could probably do it with another fish, too, with salmon. And it was a cedar plank, right? Have you seen the cedar planks? They're like, you know, this long or whatever. Yeah. And a piece of salmon marinated in some Cajun seasoning and some oils and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it was wrapped and frozen on the cedar plank. And it was so ridiculously delicious. There was some maple syrup in there. It tasted like vanilla or something. Mm. And I'm going to try to recreate that idea. Freeze it. And then, yes, I think it would come out better because it's been like your meatballs. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that's interesting with the cedar plank, too. Mm. And then you have, such a fancy meal, too.
I mean, totally. You could serve it on the thing.
Yeah. That's a good meal for guests and company that looks like, I've been cooking all day.
Yeah, exactly.
My delicious marinated salmon. You need a big cedar plank then, too.
Yeah.
And a big freezer.
Right.
For that.
True. But mine, the bun I bought was kind of small. It had, you know, five portions or something.
So I think, totally doable. Yeah, I feel like the cedar plank I have is maybe this, like, a foot, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I guess you can get you can get a lot of servings out of salmon.
Definitely.
I also feel like salmon is kind of tricky. Like, when I buy it at the store, I never know quite how much is going to last because you get the thicker side and the thinner side.
True.
So do you have a trick for finding the right amount of food for who you're serving?
Yeah, I'll usually – so if you've got a guy behind a counter cutting it for you, which is usually available even at supermarkets and stuff, I'll usually show him how big I want it, and then I'll have him portion it out for me. Mm-hmm. And they usually know to make the end side, like you say, a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you can even, like, if you wanted your piece of salmon this thick, you could sort of, if you had it in the freezer, you could just eyeball it. And then, oh, that looks right.
Portion it off for you.
Yeah.
And then what about parties? People always want to be a great host, and sometimes that becomes just overwhelming, thinking about, well, I need a theme, and I need decorations. And then I'm up all night making everything. So what are some great ideas for making party planning easy?
Mm-hmm. First of all, my favorite thing is to plan ahead of time, way ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So all the work that you do ahead of time is the greatest investment because it makes the day of and a couple days leading up to it a total breeze. So you plan everything from your menu to when you're going to shop to what ingredients you're going to need. Mm-hmm. I have a template that we're going to be sharing on our membership website that's going to show you exactly how to plug in play, basically, so it's super easy to just know what you need. So coming up with the menu, knowing who you're going to invite, planning that ahead of time, knowing where they're going to sit, and, you know, thinking about the music that you're going to play, making a Spotify playlist, which takes like 5 minutes, right? Setting the ambiance in advance, getting all of your things in place, knowing your dietary preferences of your guests. And then, I mean, the best tip of party planning is to prepare yourself so that you can be the hostess with the mostest. Getting yourself ready, making sure you have time that day so you're not in the kitchen all day, pouring yourself a glass of wine before everyone comes so that you're relaxed.
So that you're extra relaxed. And one of the great tips that I saw, I think it was on your website, although it may have come from one of your videos, was labeling the dishes as well. So if you know you're putting, like, your salad into a specific bowl, make sure you label it so it's really easy to do later. And I love that. That makes...
Totally.
Then in the moment when you're trying to figure out what in your kitchen you're using, it's bam, there, done.
Because the way the buffet looks and how it positions itself is really nice, too.
And then you can just get it all set out. So how many big parties do you tend to have, like, in a year?
Oh, my gosh. So I have a funny story.
Yes.
You like stories.
I love stories.
I host Friday night dinners every night at my house, and we have anywhere between 12 and 15 people for dinner, which is normal for me. I think that's crazy even just thinking about it now, but it's, you figure out a system, basically.
And with six of you to start with, exactly. That's already.
Exactly. So, like, coming up with, like, do I need extra chairs? Anyway, I had this one meal, and it was a particularly intricate meal. Like, usually it's family style, and it's, like, big enough portions for everyone, and people can walk in if they want. But this was particularly fancy. Like, I had some important people, and it was, like, a plated thing, and there was very little extra stuff in the kitchen. And my husband comes home with eight extra guests.
Eight? I mean, that's a dinner party.
My friend actually came before, and she said, you're not going to believe this, but... Seth's on his way home with eight more people. I'm like, what? Eight? What? Humans? Like, how old are they? Like, where are they coming from? This is not... You know, I had, like, a conniption. Like, a real, like, meltdown. And then I was like, okay. I got a problem on my hands. I need a solution. And then I figured it out. Mm-hmm. And it's all about having extra stuff. I had stuff in the freezer. I had bought extra vegetables that I could have chopped up. And I had... big pieces of chicken that I ended up cutting into half and adding some extra bread into the basket. Whatever, you make it work if you're prepared. So it's a crazy story. I still talk to him, but he hasn't done that again.
Of course. I mean, eight is a lot of extra people. Yeah. One or two, maybe. Yeah. But eight is a party. So you just cut the chicken? Was that, like, the gist of how you plated extra eight?
I basically reportioned everything. Uh-huh. And the truth is I probably had too much food to begin with. And then, I must have had some cookies in the freezer, and I had some extra whatevers. I think I had, like, a zucchini quiche or something that we quickly popped, like, nuked for a minute and popped it in the oven. Yeah. And then it's, like, an extra thing, and, you make it work. My husband ate nothing. I was like, no eating. No eating for you.
But then you still had to put something on his plate, so then it's a waste, I feel like. Unless you could give him no food and say, like, he's on a diet right now. He's just not eating at all.
I'm on a juice cleanse. Yes.
Thank you for joining us for Friday night dinner. Have some juice, honey.
This is your vault.
Exactly.
Now, every chef, though, who's spent any time in the kitchen, from, like, the top, right, to novice, has had a few mishaps here and there. So what is a big mishap that stands out to you?
Oh, my gosh. Should I talk about this on air?
Yes.
Holy cow.
It's the best.
Oh, my gosh. So I call myself a recovering perfectionist, and I have tendencies that come back, like any addict, but I used to be like a real perfectionist. So if something didn't come out, it was like, ugh. And I made this loaf of bread. I had a little, my oldest son at the time must have been like 3 months old or something. I was wearing him as I was cooking in those baby carriers. And the bread like totally flopped. It was like raw in the middle and like black, round on the outside. And it was like so bad. And my husband comes home and I was like bawling postpartum, like I can't do anything right. Like I have this baby and I'm wearing him and I plop the cake and I suck and and I was so mad that I threw the darn thing on the floor. Like I was just like I really like I threw it on the floor and I was like, this sucks. And of course, like that was over a decade ago. And these days I'm like, what can I French toast breadcrumbs. Right. Like I have so many ideas. All right, like I'll just make another one. It's annoying, but whatever. Right. But yes.
But everyone has to start somewhere with bread on the floor or some such thing.
Right.
Just so you don't feel bad, then I will tell you mine. And that I was blending, I think it was soup for a holiday dinner, and I had it in the blender. And I don't know why I thought I would take my hand off the top and go do something else. It went everywhere, like all over our cabinets, all over the backsplash, all over the counter. I mean, it was like everywhere. Soup for days. So, like, that's what sticks out in my mind when I think of kitchen mishap. For me, it's like, I will never forget to hold the top on the blender again.
There you go.
But you've got an awesome blender. You have the Vitamix, which has been, like, calling my name. Which is, like, the mother of all blenders.
Yes.
So, do you find anything that you can't blend in that thing? And that does everything.
I mean, I do some things in a food processor if I want them more finely chopped, or if it's something that doesn't have a lot of liquid, it's tricky. The Vitamix loves liquid. You must cover the blade with liquid, otherwise it's a challenge. And you could do like flax seeds or any like ground nuts in there, but anything like gooey and sticky is going to weigh the motor down. Or like if I wanted to chop onions real quick, I wouldn't do it in the Vitamix. I do it by hand or in the food processor. But yeah, I live with the Vitamix is like the best thing ever.
So why would you do onions then in the food processor? I don't understand, I guess, the difference.
Yeah, so the blender would blend them. It would almost, it would be like onion soup. Onion soup.
Like a puree, I guess, of onion.
Exactly.
Pieces.
Exactly. Versus
Got
a chop.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense to
me. Well, it's easy. A food processor processes or chops and a blender blends.
Yes. Well, that does make sense when you say it that way.
Yeah. But I would see how it's like makes sense. Like throw it all into the machine. Right. The machine will do the work for you.
Right. And I think of those Vitamixes as they can do anything.
Right.
So do you have one of everything in each of your kitchens then?
No.
Or do you travel with like your Vitamix goes with you to Hong Kong and back to Montana?
You know, sometimes I don't have it. Like my Vitamix is in Hong Kong. I actually have one in Montana too. But when we travel elsewhere, we were just in Israel. I didn't have one and I missed it. But you make do. But I think that's great because you really need to learn the skills to do it outside of when you don't have it. So I know how to make I know how to whisk everything by hand. I know how to chop everything by hand. You know, I once almost with the avocado. Be careful with the knife if you're chopping it by hand. You have to make do. And listen, most listeners and most people out there don't have all this equipment. You really, you shouldn't rely on it because if dinner has to be on the table, you have to make it happen. So.
Right, even without the Vitamix or any blender for that matter.
Exactly. But also, like, I don't like to, like, food doesn't have to be complicated and prep doesn't have to be expensive or complicated. And so, you know, it's sort of like a save up for it if it works for you, and if not, you'll be fine.
Right, you can find a workaround. Yeah. So when you first decided to do the show, what made you go, hey, I've been doing one thing, and now I want to take it out to the masses?
So I didn't know this was going to become such a thing, and I didn't know I was going to continue it. A friend of ours ran a production company out in Montana 2 summers ago, and I told him I was looking for some junior video guy because I thought I could so much better show you in 3 minutes how to whisk up this great meal than write it out in a blog post. Like, nobody has time to read 2 pages of how to do it. Can I just show you? Right. So I said, I want to hire this junior guy. And he's like, well, I could do it. I was like, are you sure? Like, he's a big guy in the industry. And I was like, okay. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is great. Like, you need to keep doing this. Like, this is your mm-hmm. cause. I'm a teacher yeah. at heart. So for me, teaching on camera was the mm-hmm. same as, he's yeah. like, you're really great. And like, isn't it the same as just talking to someone? He's like, well, yeah. Right. But most of us look at a camera and we're like,
I can't talk. I don't know who you are.
Yeah. But you know, it came mm-hmm. naturally. And I realized that I could show people how to do stuff so mm-hmm. quickly. And then it just continued basically. It's my favorite time of year to film. So I'm really excited. Next week we're filming.
And so how many episodes will you do for the second season?
So another little secret that I can't believe I'm sharing on air, but I like to work hard and then play hard. Mm-hmm. So I like to get all of my content done. So in about 5 days, mm-hmm. I do most of my video content for almost an entire year. Wow. With a little bit of pick up bits here and there. Yeah. And that's just like super meticulous planning in advance. Mm-hmm. And I just like, we just do it all. Uh-huh. And
your kids appear in a lot of your videos. So are they eager? Are they like, come on, Mom, we want to do one? Or is it more like, come on, guys, like, I need you to test these Brussels sprouts for me?
So I never intended. Like, it just happens. I think one day, I can't remember exactly. I probably have this on B-roll or something. Uh-huh. But I was on camera, and the kids came in. And I was like, oh, shoot. Like, I need to, okay, should we? And actually, I wanted to, like, have everyone uh-huh. stop because, like, they were messing up my show. But actually, they were like, no, like, keep going. Uh-huh. Like, this is the nuggets. Like, this is the gold. And so the kids come in. They're like, hey. They look at the camera uh-huh. for a second. And then they were great. Uh-huh. And it's funny because we were filming a bunch of stuff and the kids were getting messy and they were like yelling at each other. And my little one was like, I don't like cherries. I was like making a song with cherries. And he's like, I don't like cherries. I'm like, great, ruined my video again. But actually, afterwards, I was like, you got to edit all that stuff out where he said he doesn't like my food. And he's like, no way. That's the best part. Because they're just normal and candid and it's fun. And now I don't tell them to come in the videos. It's sort of like, it just happens. Uh-huh. And I don't script anything with them. Mm-hmm. And I let them come in if they want to come in, and it's great.
And so it sounds like your family is very supportive of this endeavor, too. I mean, have you found that also from your extended family?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, we have a ton of people on the ranch. Like, it looks like it's this calm, nice set, but there's, like, 20 people there. Actually, this summer, my husband invited a family with 4 kids the week that I'm filming, and I was just like, well, I guess we're going to have enough food to feed everyone at the end of the show. Like, you have to create boundaries. Like, and now mommy's working, and now I'm not available, and now I'm not hosting. But, yeah, all the people and my parents are, we use their home, and, yeah. I don't think they'd let me do it all the time, but, like, a couple days a year, everyone's like, go for it.
Well, that's great, and it's turned into such a fabulous endeavor. I mean, you've got this great show that people love watching and these great tips. Like I said, that ice cream one is my favorite, maybe because I love ice cream and cookies, so I'm all set to go.
Cool.
So, Neely, remind everyone where they can find you and where they can see your show.
Yeah, so you can go to theflexiblechef.com. I have a tab that makes it really easy to go to the videos. You can find me on Instagram. It's a little bit more of my personal life with my kids and what I'm up to at By Neely, BYNEALY. And I'd love you to come see me there.
And I'm Zoe Hewitt. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Real Zoe Hewitt. You can also find me on YouTube at Zoe Hewitt Hosting, where I do a weekly movie analysis show. Thanks so much for joining us after Buzzers. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.